You're listening to Current State on WKAR, your weekly radio magazine of newsmakers and stories from all around the Capital Region and across the state. I'm your host, Peter Wharf. Michigan is the only state that includes a prohibition on the death penalty in its constitution. Eugene Wenger was a young Republican delegate to the Constitutional Convention in the early 1960s, and he drafted the capital punishment clause approved by state voters in 1963. WKAR's Scott Pohl talks with Eugene Wenger about his book, Fighting the Death Penalty.
Wenger tells me that he was motivated by Michigan's death penalty history.
Michigan, earlier, 115 years before that constitutional convention, was the first government in the English-speaking world to abolish capital punishment for murder and lesser crimes. It had never restored it, and it seemed to me that since we were writing a constitution and since we'd been without it for 115 years, it was just a good idea to put it in the constitution now, and the convention agreed with me.
Would you say that you had universal support, that both Republicans and Democrats supported the notion of including it in the Constitution?
Yes, indeed. In fact, that proposal to outlaw the death penalty in Michigan passed the convention with only 3 dissenting votes.
Modern-day Republicans are more likely to support the death penalty. In the intervening years, I know there have been a couple of attempts to remove the prohibition of the death penalty from the state constitution. How has Michigan been able to resist that?
Well, first of all, those who wanted to remove the prohibition were never able to get enough valid signatures on their petitions to put it on the ballot, showing that while some people really wanted to have the death penalty, they were in pretty much a minority. And although some people would speculate today that Republicans generally might be for the death penalty, I don't think that's accurate. And I'll tell you why. First of all, that constitutional convention which adopted the death penalty prohibition was 2/3 Republican, most of them very conservative. And yet, as I say, there were only 3 no votes. And secondly, even today, among those who call themselves conservatives, there are a lot of people who are saying, look, the death penalty is just not good policy today because of all of the difficulties that come with it.
There was a recent profile of you in the City Pulse newspaper that recounted the degree to which you have sought out books about the death penalty and other materials over the years. This, though, is your first book about the death penalty as the author. Am I right about that? That's the first time you've written a book about the death penalty?
Well, it's the first time that I've written what you would call a big, thick volume, but I've written an awful lot of material, pamphlets, booklets, and so forth, about the subject in the past decades.
It seems important, you don't mind me saying your age, that you're 84 years old, that your story live on and that your book is a way of seeing that that happens.
Well, I hope those who read it will become better informed about the subject, because I think that most people, when they find out what the facts are, will be inclined to think the death penalty is a bad idea and that we should have, most states should have, the penalty that we have in Michigan, which is for first-degree murder, mandatory life in prison without the right to parole.
His new book is called Fighting the Death Penalty. Eugene Wenger, thank you.
You're welcome.
For WKAR, I'm Scott Pohl.
The WKAR Network is your place for mid-Michigan's NPR stations, local news, music, and more. Current State takes you all around Michigan and dives deep into Lansing-area news of state government, education, business, environment, technology, and the arts. Al Martin has sports covered on AM 870's Current Sports, and Tim Skubick is your guide through Capitol politics on Off the Record, Fridays on WKAR-TV. The WKAR Network, your mid-Michigan hometown stations. Current State on WKAR. Prisoner reform and the formerly incarcerated seeking a place in the world is the subject of our next conversation with WKAR News Director Reginald Hardwick.
In 2016, the prison population in Michigan dropped below 42,000 for the first time in decades. State lawmakers are working on reforms on how to slow the pathways to prison, but what about the path leading out of prison? An agency helping ex-offenders or former prisoners find a path to productive lives is called Cornbread Hustle, and later this summer it will hold classes for the formerly incarcerated to help them gain skills for employment or entrepreneurship. And joining us now are co-founders Sherry Garcia and Susie Solis. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Sherry, the name Cornbread Hustle just sticks out. Why that name?
So there's this scene in a movie called Life with Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence, and they're in the chow hall, and basically this big bully comes up, and he's like, yo, you gonna eat your cornbread? And so, you know, when I used to volunteer in the prisons, everybody used to say that to me because I was asking everyone for their leftovers inside the chow hall. So that's basically how it came. And then hustle, obviously. We know how that came about because we're all about hustling. And that's how the name came.
Literally one morning we were on the phone and we wanted to use those words. And we just said, hey, how about Cornbread Hustle? And that's how it started.
Now, you call ex-offenders returning citizens. Why is that?
It's something that the mayor of Detroit just thought it would be a better way to talk about these people who are returning back home. And, you know, something that we've discovered working with this population is that label of being a felon continues to follow them. And so this is a way for people to identify them without necessarily calling them a felon every single time, because it seems to have a negative connotation. And so we're just trying to change the narrative. These people are returning citizens, trying to get back home from, you know, a long or short stint in prison. And so it just, again, it's another way for us to kind of change the narrative into something a little bit more positive.
And Sherry, how did you come about being part of this and starting this program?
So I have a little bit of a past of being a troublemaker. In high school, a close relative happened to introduce me to a terrible drug called meth, and I became a drug addict, which led to dealing drugs to support my habit. So I was arrested several times, and, you know, to me, I got a second chance, and I invented a product, and it was like the high from the drug replaced itself with entrepreneurship. So I got more of a high being an entrepreneur than doing drugs. And then it clicked. I felt like, you know what? Drug dealers and people who use drugs take a major risk to potentially ruin their lives. So what about convincing them to take a risk to make their lives better? Wasn't too hard. And so here we are.
Susie, you were a TV reporter in Texas, and in full disclosure, we once worked together in the Dallas area.
Yes.
You never served time, but
no.
Something about this case and this cause touched your heart. What was it?
Well, as you know, I was a crime reporter, and I did a lot of stories about crime. I covered a lot of trials and have interviewed dozens of inmates inside jail. And so I just knew that on some of these cases, it was literally one mistake. And I knew the implications that it had, not only on the defendant or whoever was going to prison, but also on the families nearby, friends. And I just knew that as soon as somebody got a felony, their life was over. And I just knew that that wasn't necessarily the way that things should go. I feel like people should get a second chance. And I feel like it's something that's very important. I mean, these people go to prison and they don't have an opportunity to do a lot of things to actually rehabilitate themselves. And so that's why for me it's very important, because I've seen the implications of crimes. But I've also seen as a journalist that people are able to change. And so for me, it was important to continue to help people transform in a positive way.
In August, you will be starting an entrepreneurship training program in Pontiac, teaming up with a Detroit nonprofit, Luck Inc. And what will happen there?
Luck Inc. is pretty much the reason why we came to Detroit. They are a nonprofit. They are felons themselves, or returning citizens, who are transforming other men who have been in their same position. And so they're really able to reach that population and help them to live a more positive life and to help them find stable housing, transportation, and also employment. But what they were lacking was an entrepreneurship program. And so they heard about what Sherry and I were doing in Dallas with Cornbread Hustle, and they reached out to us. So we came to Detroit, and we just saw that this is, you know, ground zero of prison reform. And so we just decided this is probably a good place for us to be. Now, we started in Pontiac. One of our business partners or partners at Luck Inc., he's actually from Pontiac, and that's where he committed his crime. He spent 19 years in prison, three of them in solitary. And like I said, now he's transforming lives. And now with Cornbread Hustle, he's going to be helping us teach the class. It's kind of a story of redemption for him coming back to his hometown and being able to help. If you talk to people who knew Rick and Mario when they were in prison, they just talk about how they transformed lives and even the culture within prison while they were there. And so now they're doing it on the outside. And for us teaming up, it just means we can do more and help more people. And so that's why it's been a really good partnership for us.
How are you finding applicants, or how are the applicants coming to you all?
Well, we actually went to Jackson Cooper Street Correctional Facility on Friday, and we actually were in front of about 250 to 300 inmates talking about what Luck Inc. is doing and what Cornbread Hustle is doing. And we had a few people who were actually going to be out of prison in the next few weeks or in the next few months. And so we got about five or six students who were literally getting out of prison and going to walk into Cornbread Hustle. So we're really excited about that. We're basically just networking. It's kind of like guerrilla marketing, trying to just meet anyone and everyone that we can to tell them about Cornbread Hustle. And it might not be the actual inmates who are hearing about us, but a lot of times it's family members who say, oh, my son is in prison, and tell me about your program. And then we end up getting the applicants in that way.
We're talking with Susie Solis and Sherry Garcia with Cornbread Hustle. And what is the training like through this workshop? I mean, is it pretty rigorous? Is it, they're just not sitting around listening to a seminar?
Oh, not at all. So it's a 90-day transformation program. We meet every Thursday for 2 hours. We feed them. And we have this curriculum right here. It helps you find your purpose and live your passion. So basically, you know, week one, we're talking about figuring out what your passion is and how do you monetize it. Then we go into week two, talking about social media detox, how to get your social media on point. Then we go into how to get your own PR, how to tell your story instead of hide behind it, to get more business and to get on a speaking platform, how to get paid for speaking. So everything basically that Susie and I have done as entrepreneurs since we both left the newsroom, we basically wrapped it all up into this book, and we give the same tools and resources we have to people who are getting out of prison so they can get on their feet.
What does an employer who is listening to this interview need to know about hiring an ex-offender or a returning citizen?
So number one, there is a benefit to hiring an ex-offender. If you hire them within a year of release, they do get a tax credit. It can be, I don't know the Michigan laws, but it can be anywhere from $2,000 to $10,000. And that's a tax credit, not a deduction. Number two, these guys, a lot of them come from gang environments. So a lot of people think of violence when you think of gang, but there's a lot of loyalty to it too. So they see you as that person that gave them a hand up, and so they're super loyal. And number three, most importantly, you know, a lot of millennials jump from job to job to job, and it's hard to keep somebody working for you. But felons aren't going to jump from job to job to job because they're worried they have that X on their back where they can't get another job. So they are super committed and loyal, and they're always going to show up because they feel like they have that second chance, as opposed to a recent college grad who felt like the doors opened for them easily.
What do you want an ex-offender who's listening to this interview to know and to feel like, you know what, this can be the opportunity for them?
So we just want them to know that we believe in them first and foremost. And sometimes that's the number one thing that these guys need. A lot of them lack a lot of love and belief from other people. And so when we give that, everything kind of just follows through. We also do have, you know, it's not always easy just to become an entrepreneur overnight. We do help you get meaningful employment. And by meaningful employment, that means, hey, what do you really want to do? And let's place you into a place where you can learn through entrepreneurship. So if you want to own your own car auto body shop one day, we're going to get you a job in that field so you can learn from it and feel like you're on the right path for your purpose instead of just doing a day-to-day job just to pay bills. But we do have, it's kind of funny, but we have actual cornbread mix that we sell. We allow our students to sell them. So a lot of people come from a drug dealing environment, and so it's easy to explain to them wholesale, retail, manufacturing, distribution. It's easy to explain that using bags of cornbread so they can go to different restaurants. So any restaurants that are listening would be really helpful if they wanted to pick up our cornbread mix. They can go to restaurants and they get $75 per restaurant they sign up plus $12.50 a case sold per the life of the contract. So if they were to land a huge franchise, that's a lot of $12.50, you know, times however many franchise they got for the life of the contract. So we really teach these guys how to learn about residual income and hustling the legal way to make ends meet.
In our closing minutes, are you finding a lot of openness here in Michigan?
So that's another reason why we came out here to expand. You know, Texas is a very conservative state, so it's not as open. We've had great support out there, but the difference, like coming out here and doing pitch competitions, everyone's so open to receiving what we're doing because it is such an issue out here. I believe the national average of unemployment after incarceration is 50%, and in Michigan it's 76%. So it's obviously something that's needed out here. So we're here and we want to do everything we can to connect with the right people to make great things happen for returning citizens.
Yeah, it's been a really good, interesting experience out here in Michigan. Every time we talk to somebody about what we're doing, people always say, oh, my aunt, my cousin, my friend, somebody knows somebody who has been in that situation and who has gone to prison for whatever reason. And so they understand the difficulties that these people face when they get out of prison. And so when they have, when we went to prison, as a matter of fact, on Friday, a few of the inmates just came up and said, you know what, it's really nice to know that there's actually people who care. And so for us, we just want them to know that they can create a new narrative. They don't always have to have that label on their back, and they can actually be productive citizens. And so we want to create a network where they're held accountable, where they feel support, and where they feel like they can actually learn and do something that's productive in their lives.
Well, we've posted links to Cornbread Hustle on WKAR.org. Thank you, Sherry Garcia and Susie Solis, for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
For WKAR News, I'm Reginald Hardwick.